welcome to Also Pimentos Podcast. I'm speaking with Devin and Mike from the band. Fucking right, guys. Good work. And you guys hail from Denver, Colorado.
That's correct. Yep.
Nice. How's the weather down there?
Shitty. It's 28 degrees right now.
It's typical spring Colorado shit where it was 70 degrees 2 days ago, and then we got 6 inches of snow last night.
Yeah.
So, it's touch and go right now.
Yeah, I know. It's like that up here, too. Like, we got, we're in Ontario, Canada, and then we got no snow for November, December, January. And then we got a bit of snow in February. February. And then March, like, we just got a whole dump fucking on us.
We just got 2 feet last week.
Well, that's fucking crazy.
Like t-shirt weather, and then, well, I don't know. March is brutal. I don't know what's happening anymore.
Well, yeah, it's I think it's something called global warming. That thing.
I heard that was a myth, dude.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Let's all put our tinfoil hats on and fucking let's go. No.
I grew up here and it like never hit 90 degrees. And now it's like, it hits 100 because it's playing the summer and then whatever this nonsense is.
But, it's insane.
We're doing a really good job of bearing ourselves.
Yeah. That's the thing too, is like, even in January, like I know a local farmer and he had wheat sprouting from his field, and then he had to tear it all out because he couldn't use it, and then he had to fucking replanting it, and he's like, it was like $30,000 in a field
that I
had to
brutal.
Fucking
That's
throw
brutal.
Away. It's fucking crazy, dude. So how did Suicide Cages start?
So we started in COVID. So Mike's my best friend. We've known each other, I don't know, 10 plus years. I met him bartending in downtown Denver. He was the customer. He came in all the time. Like, you know, we can smell our own. You know, we're both like punk and metal kids. So, you know, we started hanging out, and he asked me to do a band for a long time, and I was like, I can't. Like, I had 1,000 reasons, and then COVID erased all those reasons, and I was like, well, I can't look this man in the face and tell him no. So we started this band, and we initially wrote, you know, most of an EP, just the two of us, and we were like, okay, well, now what? And then Mike used to be in a band called Cult of the Lost Cause.
Right.
And that band is a friend of ours. And so we called him. He joined the band, and inevitably he knew a drummer, and that's our drummer, Rico. And yeah, now we've been cruising for about three years.
Coming up on 3 years. Yeah.
So it's been cool, man. Like, you know, 35. I think we just played this past Saturday with show 35. It's been cool. Yeah. Starting to get out a little bit more.
Nice. And you guys have a couple singles and EPs out too.
We got an EP and a full length out, and we got another EP coming out April 26th that we're really excited about.
Cascading Failure.
Yeah, that was our full length that we put out last year, 7 songs.
Nice.
Love that record. Yeah, it was really cool, man. We worked with our buddy Austin here in Denver on that one. And that's kind of when like things started kind of cruising for us. It's been cool. But yeah, we got a new EP called Mother of Thousands that comes out next month. We worked with a dude from Denver, his name's Felipe. He used to work at the Blasting Room a lot.
Bill Stevenson.
Yep. He's worked on a ton of Fat Record stuff. And I was kind of, sorry, that's my dog's barking or something.
That's cool, man. What's your dog's name?
My dog's name's Milo, since we're on the topic of...
Oh, there, that's hilarious. Good work.
So Felipe cut his teeth doing that. Now he owns a place called Green Door. And on the back end mastering process, we worked with Will Putney.
Okay.
Graphic Nature. We played Better Lovers back in October of last year, and he was really cool and supportive and kind to us. So I just asked, and I mean, he's done everything from like Knocked Loose to Every Time I Die, Incendiary, Fit for an Autopsy, and Nothing. Like, all basically like everything in our world, but that's like heavy and sounds incredible. Like, easier to have his finger at. So, we're really proud of this thing. It just sounds like big and full and heavy.
No, it fucking rips, guys. And I would clap. Yeah, no, it's a fucking banger. I would clap. Like, I love a lot of hardcore too. I haven't had really too many hardcore bands on the podcast. And then I saw you guys. I think you guys liked the page or something, or.
I think so, yeah.
Or some shit like that, and then...
Well, remember, I think you popped in our feed, and I was like, oh, cool, he interviewed Russ Rankin, I fucking love Goodreads.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goodreads is like a lifelong favorite.
So what? Here's another question too. So what music got you into playing what you're playing now?
So I think the band that we always say that like we just kind of want to be Dead Guy, like the whole Victory Records band, like Tim Singer specifically is like a huge influence of mine.
Yeah.
But for us, it's like Dead Guy, Coalesce, Rise and Fall. I don't know. Mike sometimes would be like, he's like, this is my Helmet song. I was like, that's nothing like Helmet, but like. I don't know. I think we both grew up as like punk kids that got into like hardcore metal and like kind of I like weird noisy stuff. And so
same. Yeah.
We're just I don't know. It's like I don't wanna just play like hardcore by numbers. I love that stuff, but it just doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
And so we're like, let's just write weird time signatures and just odd heavy stuff. Finally, like, we never really wrote breakdowns for a while. We just kind of like teased the breakdown. And now Mike finally gives the people what they want. Mike writes most of the music. He and our drummer, and then like our bass player and I kind of flush out parts out. But yeah, it's I don't know, Mike. Maybe I should let you talk about that. But
no, that's pretty much dead on. Like, I mean, every band you mentioned, plus like, I mean, Dead Guy very specifically, but like, yeah, I also pull a lot like Zao, Converge, Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah,
huge to me. And it's like, it's not that, like, you know, I always mention these bands, and it's not that there's not modern stuff that I really like too, but I always just think of the bands that made me want to make music, mm-hmm. you know? And they were all from that era, and they were all exactly as Devin said, bands who were like just kind of weird and noisy and angular and like almost insectile in what they were doing.
I think what like made me who I am today, so like I'm 42 now, and I mean, you guys are both essentially roughly we're all the same ballpark, but do you guys remember Columbia Music House?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So, and, like, I remember in high school, I signed up for that, and I got, like, everything they had that, like, looked metal, and it was the same year that, like, Dillinger Escape Plan, Calculating Infinity, and Coalesce, Revolutions of Just Listening came out.
Yeah.
And I truly don't remember the other CDs I got for a penny, because those two, like, melted my brain. I was like, I don't understand this. It's confusing, and I want more. So it was like, that's kind of the realm I went in, and we started this band. We're like, well, what are we like? What are we both like? You know, like, well, we have very different styles, but we're like, we all like this. We all like these, like, wild, mathy, noisy, chaotic bands. So, like, let's do whatever comes out of our brain system, you know, is in that world.
Yeah, it's also too, there's another band too that, I think you guys are probably into, Mr. Bungle.
Yeah, Faith No More is one of the reasons I started playing guitar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, dude. No, Mr. Bungle's great. Like,
that new album they have out with Scott Ian and Dave Lombardo from Slayer.
Yes.
It's such a good dude, record.
I bought that thing on cassette, record, and CD.
Nice. You got the trifecta.
It's fucking that fucking record just melts my face and dude. Just fucking burns my brain at the same time.
Yeah, it's so good. I was thinking about this earlier, since you're from Ontario, my favorite band of all time is Grade.
I love Grade. They're great.
Yeah, Under the Radar. I mean, obviously we don't know anything like that, but like that era, I remember like the two bands I fell in love with on the Victory Records comps were Dead Guy and Grade. And maybe that doesn't make sense, but in my brain, I was like, I love these two bands so much.
Yeah, I haven't talked about Grade on the podcast in a while. They did a small tour before COVID, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're doing new stuff right now, too, to be honest with you.
I hope so.
They're fucking band reps, too.
I don't know. So many good bands came from Ontario, but...
oh, yeah.
I mean, like, anything Chris Callahan does, I want to listen to.
What's that, sorry?
Chris Callahan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, that Curse. Burning Love, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Enough of it. Anyway, but yeah. So
that's really cool.
We're just fans of heavy, weird music, man.
I'm just a fan of music. Like, when I'm working, like, I listen to a lot of hardcore metal and punk, but if I'm at home, yeah. Like, the new Czarface, I don't know if you do, or if you're into hip-hop or not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I love all the new hip-hop coming up right now. Like, even, like, Czarface and, Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels. Incredible.
Killer Mike's new album is fucking, it's a banger too, man.
It's beautiful, yeah. Mike and I got drunk at a local spot over here and tried to do called, actually. We tried to do Legend Has It by Run the Jewels. Dude, I'd give us an F minus. It's one of those things where, like, you got a few beers in you, and at the start, you're like, oh, God, this is way harder than I thought, and I didn't think it was going to be the big one. But,
normally we'll, I don't want to say we're bad influences, but we will be like, yeah, fuck it, let's go for it, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, let's do it. And that was the one night I was like, man, this is going to be a lot harder than you think it is. And Devin's like, no, we got this, we got this. I'm like, dude. He's like, we got this. And we got up and absolutely embarrassed ourselves. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fucking funny, guys. That's good work. I'm the same way too. It's like, I'll go to karaoke and I'll sit there and drink, like, you know, a couple of fucking IPAs at like fucking 9.5 or whatever. And then I'm thinking, like, I could sing again. I'm like, all right, let's sing the whole fucking Smash album by The Offspring. And then
right.
And it sounds like dog shit at the end of it. So
yeah, it's all dog shit. What's funny is, like, we're, like, super big. Like, we practice sober, we play sober, like, just because, like, I don't know, we take it seriously.
Yeah.
Then you go to karaoke, and you're like, well, I'm not singing a song until I have 5 beers.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's the logic in this? Like, why are we?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. It's being an adult's weird.
So, explain the single Fuck City.
Mike, go ahead.
Well, I won't speak to Devin's lyrics, but part of it was because we had written this song, and so normally how we write is, you know, I'll take an idea to Rico, our drummer.
Yeah.
And then normally then Devin's the next person to sit in on the session, and then we'll demo it. And our bass player, Tom, is really good about, you know, learning it on his own. He's a lot busier than us. He has younger kids than everyone else. And so he'll learn it on his own, and then he'll, you know, hit up the band thread with notes and ideas, and we'll incorporate those, and we'll hit it up in practice. But Rico and I just mapped out this song that was just so weird and just so fucked up and just so much faster than anything we've done. And I just always loved that there's a line from that show Arrested Development where one of the brothers, Job, is
like, all right, right, yeah, yeah.
This swinger community, and like, you can't get off it. He's like, check your lease, man, because you're living in Fuck City. That has to be the song title.
Yeah. And most of the time, Mike titles it, and then I write the lyrics, and the titles don't fit. But that time, like, that song is like, it's a very highly political song. It's mostly about, I mean, Trump's American, kind of like the world we were living in at the time. And I was like, while that title is hilarious, it's actually still very fitting, so we're going to keep it. And what was great was the first time we ever got written about in the paper, we got featured in, like, the best songs, our best singles in Colorado that month. And it was, like, us that said Fuck City. And I was like, it's very fitting that the first time we're in, like, printed paper is the first song.
That's funny, man. That's a great tune, too. You said you guys are recording an EP as well, aren't you?
Yeah, it's recorded. It's ready to go, actually. We first single drops in 2 weeks, April 5th, called Charm Offensive, the first single, and then the EP will be out on the 26th of April. So, yeah, we're excited. We're trying to tour a little bit. We're older, dudes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, touring's hard anyway.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I don't know what the value is, but, like, you know, we've played surrounding states, and we're kind of doing that piece, and
How many tracks is the EP?
It's gonna be four songs.
Four songs? Nice.
Yep, 4 songs, 14 minutes. Streaming is weird, man. As a dude, I love physical formats. I love vinyl.
I'm the same way.
But, like, the last record we put out was 7 songs, and the first 4, like, crushed on streaming, and then it was, like, a hard drop-off. And it was, like, people didn't get past that, and you're like, man, like, the vinyl sold super well. We sold it out, and, like, I'm incredibly grateful, but, like, you're like, I like those last 3 songs too, man.
That was the thing, is on Cascading Failure, the last song, is a song called Torrential, and we literally wrote it like the week we were going in to record. But so it was kind of stressful that way. But it was actually one of my favorite songs on the album, and yeah, it got like significantly less plays on every platform just because we sequenced it to be the last song on the album, or the second to last song.
Throw on for the first song for the new EP. How's that?
I know, right? Well, that's what we're thinking, is like taking those last 3 songs at some point, like maybe re-releasing them or re-releasing live versions or something like that to try to give them their due, because again, it's all music we were proud of, But yeah, it was like a hard lesson to learn. The way people engage now with music is so much different.
Well, that's the thing too. I think all three of us are in the same wheelhouse too. That like, you know, we collect records, and the importance of buying a vinyl CD or tape or even a fucking shirt, whatever, to support the band, because you guys work really hard on your music, but streaming platforms are great to get it out there, but there's nothing coming back to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we made like $80 in streaming 1 year, and it cost like $115 to keep it online.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those things where we're like, oh, cool, we got a check, and then we were like, wait, we still lost money. But, like, whatever, it's not what it's about, but, like, it just was kind of one of those laughable situations. But, yeah, so it's 4 songs. I mean, we're still going to put it out on vinyl. It's going to be a single-sided 12-inch.
Oh, nice.
So, like, there's still means to do that, but it's weird to take a step back and be like, okay, like, if we put out 10 songs, does anybody care? You know, are we better off, like, kind of putting stuff out in segments? I don't know. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. It's just... everybody digests music differently nowadays. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's fucking weird, actually, to be honest with you. Like, I used to be down with it, and I'm like, oh, really? So, like, what I'll do is I'll buy albums off of Bandcamp.
Yeah,
well, totally, yeah.
And then support like that. And then I think it's still, like, on Friday, every Friday on Bandcamp, if you buy an album, all the money goes to the band?
It's like every first Friday of the month. Or
yeah.
Is it?
Yep. No, that's really cool. Yeah, they don't cut big cuts for merch or anything like that. Like, I mean, and Bandcamp still, to their credit, takes less of a cut than most, which is really cool. So, like, we still run our merch store through there.
Yeah.
I mean, their business model is pretty artist friendly, which...
Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, yeah, you can run your merch through there, too, and everything like that. They don't charge you for it. But also, like, I don't know, like, whoever designed the interface for... Bandcamp, I don't know, needs to go back to school.
Dude, I totally agree.
Well, no,
it is complete horse shit.
I feel like they designed it once and they're like, fuck it, it's good, and then just never revised it. And now it's been like 10 straight years where you're like, bro, everybody else is like, kind of put some work into it. Right. Maybe it's your time. Like, what was once a B is now a B plus.
Right.
Oh, I wouldn't even give that. I wouldn't even give that the fuck, I'd give it a F minus.
Yeah, right.
It's fucking...
Bandcamp is the hardest one. That's the one that we're like, I can't, like, use that app if I want to, like, listen to something if I'm, like, driving to work. Because it takes, like, real effort to find what I want. Because the search doesn't suggest anything, you know, or it'll suggest, you know, 5 of the wrong bands that are all from fucking, like, Oslo or
something. That are, like, this, that are named the same 5 fucking bands.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not trying to put my car in the dish where I'm trying to switch albums.
Yeah. That's crazy. So do you guys collect records too? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, big time. Yeah, yes.
What was your...
much more of a collector than the rest of the band. All of us do, for sure.
Yeah, we're all big fans of
that. What's what was the last record that both you guys bought?
Ooh, what came in the mail?
That's bad.
So like the last two things. One of my favorite records of all time is Rival Schools United by Fate.
Yeah.
And I just got a test press of the most current pressing, which I was very excited about. And I think before that, it was the new Amigo the Devil record.
Oh, fuck. You and my wife would fucking hit it off, man, because she fucking loves him, man. She loves Murder Folk.
He's the best. He, super nice dude. One of his first Denver shows was actually in my living room.
And really?
We've kind of connected. Yeah, he's a really nice dude. Actually, last time he was in town, I think he was traveling through, and my girlfriend and I went to see Greg Picciotto on his like solo tour from Dillinger.
Yeah.
And Amigo the Devil Danny was there, and I introduced him to my girlfriend, and she's like, oh, I love your music. And it was great, because he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And it was like such a great candid response. Like, yeah, he's the best dude, but I love support him forever. But his new record is absolutely brilliant.
That's great.
Yeah, I think he, I've listened to it front and back. I think Jen's listened to it about fucking 500 times already.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. But, fuck, so that was the only two new records you got, yeah?
Well, I know for me,
I'm just thinking, you talk.
I know for me, I've been, the last thing I remember The last two things I got in the mail, one was the repress of Dead Guy's Fixation on a Coworker.
Okay.
So that final repress with a bunch of new variants.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to rebuild some of my, like, you know, not metal and punk. So the other two things, the last things I got were Aesop Rock, None Shall Pass.
Nice, good work.
And the new Chromeo record, Adult Contemporary. I love Chromeo. God, I love that band so much. Actually, I had to get up real quick to go look at my records. I was like, what just came in? I did recently get the Finally Please repress of the first Old Dirty Bastard record.
Oh, word, nice.
Yeah, I got that, and then are you familiar with the band Self Defense Family?
Okay.
It's the singer from Drug Church's other bands, and they just put out a live record they recorded before COVID. That's a great, like, the best album title I've probably heard in forever, but it's called Fake Shit Wins But Not Tonight.
Amazing.
It's a really well done live. I'm not normally a fan of live records, but, like, I think that.
Yeah, I'm the same way, too. Like,
I think they're weird and brilliant.
I think with live records, too, like, I just, it's like live punk rock records I'm not a fan of, to be honest with you.
Right, yes,
and, because I want to hear the song and the way it's been recorded, and I'm going to use this as an example, and whatever. And anytime I hear NOFX live on a record,
I'm like, God, yeah, exactly.
Why the fuck is this?
That's literally the example I was going to give.
I love that band. I love maybe 3 albums, 4 albums. The rest of it's fucking, I think, is whatever. It's still good, but it's like, you can't tell me every NOFX album is the best, because it's not. Like,
without question. Oh yeah, I don't think you've been about any band. I do think my favorite live record of all time is the Face to Face live record.
That's a good one. I just got RKL.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
Aren't they doing
shows again? Yeah, with Tony from Iron Rig and then Municipal Waste is doing vocals.
Yeah. Fucking wicked. I love it.
Yeah, really does. I'm sure some videos will pop up, but I'm like, I hope some quality, because I don't see that.
Yeah, no, because they re-released like a live record. It was on Fat Records. Right. It was from 19, I think it's from like 1988. Anyways, that's a good record. And I picked up Slayer, Rain in Blood, because I don't have that.
Nice.
Which I don't know why I don't have that, but I don't. Yeah, I know live records, whatever. I like them and I don't. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's like, I don't know. If you were at the show, I feel like that's a different thing, but obviously that's not normally the case.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like the live experience is the experience. It's not the recording that does it for me. It's like, just, you know, it's being there. It's the presence and everything else. Like, the energy is what makes that fun. It's not, I don't want to press the vinyl because then it just sounds like a shitty version of what I already have. I also wonder about the experience for the band, like knowing you're recording, like, because I know that.
Well,
so a couple weeks ago,
I know Fat Mike doesn't give a shit, so.
I know, probably, right? I know a couple weeks ago, though, we had some friends, a friend of ours who is a film director. He recorded our set to help us doing a video for the single Devin mentioned, Charm Offensive.
Okay.
And he wanted to get some live footage, and it was the weirdest thing because we had to play the song twice in the set.
Yeah.
Which was like the least punk rock thing I've ever done, and I say that including taxes.
Yeah.
Like, it was just the weirdest thing to have to do, you know?
We started and ended our set with the same song. But we did it at St. Patrick's Day Festival at our buddy's bar. And so, like, I think everybody was just drunk enough that they didn't care. They were like, I think half the people didn't remember hearing it the first time.
Right.
But, yeah, it was weird. And I know, like, I almost tripped over at one point. So, yeah, I could only imagine doing, like, a full album recording and being like, hey, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, right.
Right?
90 minutes. Because there's so many times you play and you're like, man, that was a rough set. People are like, you guys sounded so tight. You're like, for sure did not, man. I appreciate you saying that.
For sure did not.
I was like, that is not how that song went, but I'm grateful that you guys liked it.
So, do you guys ever come to Canada at all or no?
Not yet.
We like to. Like, we're just, it feels, honestly, man, like, it takes time and takes to get momentum, as you know. And so, we're just kind of at that point where we're trying to kind of cruise up. We just played with a band from Minneapolis this past weekend, and we're going to try to get up there to see them. And my hope is, if we can makes that region a little further north in the States, and we can pop over the border and try to play a show. Or
yeah, something. I think you guys would blow up in Toronto, man. Because
I'd love to, man.
There's a bar. I'm like, I was listening to you guys. I'm like, there's a bar downtown called the Bovine Sex Club in Toronto.
Oh yeah, I've heard of it.
Dude, you guys would fucking melt the fucking paint off the walls.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like,
dude, yeah. I think I only know of it just because of the name. Cause that's such a brilliant name.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of garbage like on the front of it too, like old bikes and stuff like that. Yeah, Google it. It's a pretty rad building for sure.
There's like that name, and there was like a club in Cleveland called Now That's Class. Those were like the two names that always stuck in my brain that I would see on flyers.
Right.
So you have some Elora connections, don't you?
Yeah, my whole family's actually, my dad's side's from Canada, so my dad and my uncle played pro hockey. Actually, that's how I ended up. I guess that's not how I ended up in the States. I was born in the States. But I guess
no way. Where would they play?
So my uncle's name is Doug. He played for the Sabres and the Islanders in the 70s. My last name's Rombo, so if you Google Doug Rombo, there's a sick photo of him with just like beautiful hockey hair and a sick mustache from like 77 and off like a trading card.
That's amazing. But,
yeah, he played. My dad played in the World Hockey League on like, you know, the West Coast of the U.S.
Yeah, that's one that Gordie Howe owned, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was before. Basically, it was like when it folded, it became like the Coyotes and the Kings and stuff like that. Like the handful of teams that did well got absorbed into the NHL. But he played there because they had plans in the NHL, so bucked, and he was just like, I don't want to be on a bus the rest of my life. I've already done that shit. But yeah, so like all of my dad's side of the family's all from Ontario. They're all from like Laura and Guelph. I've got a couple of cousins in Niagara Falls on the Canadian side.
Nice.
It's been a while since I've been there. Like, I went there for my grandma's 90th birthday.
Nice. So, how long ago was that?
Right before COVID, probably 5-6 years ago.
Oh,
right. So, yeah, it's, you know, I need to make it happen again. I actually almost didn't get back into the States because I was being an ass. I don't know, but yeah.
So what happened? You couldn't get back in?
So we flew into Buffalo. I met my dad and my sister, and we drove across from Buffalo to Ontario just because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
we ran out of car because nobody likes to go to Buffalo. But, we drove up. We were coming back, and my phone kicked on, and I was sitting at the border, and my phone kicked back on. You know, I got a ton of phone calls, a ton of texts, and I realized that my flight home had been canceled, and they needed me to call them to rebook it. So I was on the phone trying to get that done, and we got to the border, and the American Border Patrol guy was yelling for me to get off the phone, and the younger version of me, which I suppose 6 or 7 years ago is not that young, I just looked at the dude and I was like, I don't have a fucking bomb, man. I'm trying to book my flight. And as I said, I was like, ah, shit. And my dad just stared at me. I was like, ah. And then we got pulled out of the car and everything. And I was like, I've apologized to my sister more times than I can count for that. Because it was not my finest moment per day. Needless to say, I spent the night in Buffalo and had my friends come to a show.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, it was all good. I was like, I'm going to get a beer and like, tuck my head between my legs because I definitely was an ass.
Yeah.
I love Ontario, man. It's such a cool
place. Yeah, you guys, I think you guys would do really well here, man. Because there's lots of, like the hardcore scene and the punk rock scene and Barry.
Bands of all time from Ontario, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, we were talking about that before we started recording, but like, you know, I love Grade, I love Curse, Burning Love, Boys Night Out was a band.
Dude, I used to love that band. Yeah.
God, who else forgot about that band? Like, I mean, fucked up, obviously. Like
Alexis on Fire.
Yeah, like Crush. Yeah. Man. No, dude, there's so much good music.
Yeah, same with Fucked Up too. Like Fucked Up. Like Damien's a really good dude too.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen them a couple times. I saw them play. Fucked Up played a record. They played like a 21 and up show that I had tickets to. And I actually got called out. I called out to my job at the time and got written up because they announced like a record, like a 3 o'clock in the afternoon record store show, and they played just all early stuff. And he was like picking kids up. And I got to work the next day. I got written up, and I was like, "That's fine. I'm so grateful I got to see that set." Like, yeah. Twice, I don't care. That's like a memory I'll have for the rest of my life. Like, that band's brilliant.
Okay, guys. So this is the part of the podcast where I ask you to give me all the socials.
Oh yeah. We are on Instagram as just at Suicide Cages, one word. Same thing with Twitter. I refuse to call it by its new name because fuck those dudes.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's the dumbest thing ever.
We're on TikTok, and it's a bummer because we're hard to find, so you have to search us like. It is at Suicide Cages, but you have to search like the word cages, because if you type in suicide, then it tries to give you all these like self-help hotlines.
Yeah, it gives you passwords, that's what that's big. It gives you like the phone number and text message for self-help, which is important, but like we're just trying to push the music.
Yeah. We're just trying to, we have a thing we do on TikTok where we always post, it's a whole story, but basically the short version of it is, we play this record store in Wyoming. And as part of our payout, they gave us a life-size cardboard cutout of Busta Rhymes. So we...
Amazing.
It was awesome. It was, like, my favorite part of that show. And so, like, everything we do on TikTok, it's always, like, Devin will be like, hey, this is Devin, and this is Busta. We're from Suicide Cages.
Yeah.
And then we just go from there, you know?
Yeah, like, we shoveled snow the other day before the storm.
I gotta fucking check him out.
Yeah, that's really dumb.
I think we have a Facebook page, but we never do anything with it. So, yeah, Instagram and Twitter are really the places to find us.
For sure. But yeah, we're on all streaming platforms as well. Bandcamp. We're on Deezer, which I'm not really entirely sure what that is, but we're on it.
I don't even know how to use it.
I don't know. We use this platform that pushes us to everything. They're like, you guys are going to be on Deezer. We're like, I don't know what that is, but that's sick, man. I hope whatever country uses Deezer is hyped, and maybe somebody will find it. So, I've never taken the effort to Google it, so I'm not that knowledgeable. It's just like, that's weird. Let's go.
Right. All right, cool, guys. That was awesome. Thanks for doing this, and everyone go check out Suicide Cages.
Yeah, this is awesome, Sean. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate you.
We really appreciate this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Stay on the line, huh?
Yep, sounds good.